Hey, today we're going to talk about divorce. So, what do you do when the person you're married to wants out? What do you do if the person who wants a divorce is the pastor? Yeah, the pastor wants a divorce. We're going to talk about that today. Are you ready? Let's jump in. So you thinking the pastor want a divorce? Sometimes we put pastors on pedestals and we'll treat them like they're not human and go through things that ordinary people go through. Pastors go through things too. And there are times when pastors want a divorce or the pastor's wife wants a divorce. Well, today we're going to dissect a letter that came in from a pastor who wants a divorce. And so I'll paraphrase for the sake of time. This pastor, his wife actually is the one who cheated. She cheated on him. He says she told him, because I'm getting his side of the story now. So he says she told him that he was never at home. He's not paying her any attention. She was lonely. And so she sought the attention of another man. One thing led to another, and they ended up having sex. She says that it was an affair, but it is over, and she wants to stay in the marriage. She wants the marriage to work out. Now, the pastor, on the other hand, is having a hard time forgiving her for cheating, and he wants a divorce. And so he's asking me, should he divorce his wife? Now, I cannot tell you to stay married. I cannot tell you to get divorced. That is something you have to decide for yourself. I can't make that decision for you. I can give you information. I can agree with you in prayer, but that ultimate decision, whether to stay married or not, that is totally up to you. So let's jump in and talk about what the Bible says about marriage. So in Matthew 19, verses 8 and 9, Jesus is talking to the Pharisees about it. And I'll paraphrase that. And it says that God frowns upon divorce. Moses allowed it because of the hardness of your heart. And that the only reason now that God would approve divorce is for infidelity. That's just a quick paraphrase of Matthew 19, 8 through 9. You can go back and peruse it at your convenience. Jesus is speaking and he's saying, yeah, we believe in marriage. And other than infidelity is the only reason we would approve you getting a divorce. Now, you're going to say, man, so your people get divorced all the time because they can't make it work. And you are correct, because they can't make it work. There, Paul talked about in 1 Corinthians 7:15, he talked about a marriage between an unbeliever and a believer. And he said that if you have an unbeliever who wants a divorce, let him go. Let him or her go. You are not held morally or spiritually to this marriage because you're married to someone who doesn't believe in the covenant of marriage and who doesn't believe in God. So, Paul also gave them a way out. If an unbeliever married a believer and the unbeliever wanted a divorce. So, again, I'll list these scriptures down in the notes section so you can go back and review them for your own self. You cannot make someone want to stay married to you. But listening to just a little bit, the story that I heard in this letter from the pastor, I want to briefly talk about the five laws of marriage. The five laws of marriage is kind of like the foundation of marriage. If you violate these laws, it will cause problems in your marriage. But if you can consistently follow them, then your marriage will not only survive, but it will be amazing. So let me quickly go through the five laws, and I'll do some videos here shortly where I go into more detail about each one because they're very important. The first law of marriage is priority. Priority means I put my spouse first. Okay, so in the hierarchy of things, there is number one is God. Number two should be your spouse. Number three should be children. Number four should be work. Okay. The next law of priority is the law of agreement. The law of agreement says we're a team. We're on one page. We have unity. We're unified. We're one. When you see my husband, Bobby, you see me, we're one. We don't work against each other. We work as a team. We're a team, but they. That's what the law of agreement states. The law of possessions states that everything that I have belongs to my husband. Everything that he has belongs to me, both assets and liabilities. You know, he has my debt and he has my assets, and I have his debts and I have his assets, because law of possession states that there's no prenup. You know, everything I have is yours. Everything you have is mine. And I have access to everything he owns, and he has access to everything I own. That's the law of possession. The law of pursuit is the fourth one. The law of pursuit says, whatever it took to get you, I'm going to keep doing it to keep you. The law of pursuit says that I'm going to continue to learn my spouse, to chase my spouse, to date my spouse. The law of pursuit says that I'm going to figure out their love language and I'm going to meet it consistently, because I want my spouse to feel loved by me. And so I'm going to do whatever it takes to make my spouse feel loved. I'm not just going to say it. I'm going to make them feel it by choosing to speak their love language. The law of pursuit also says that I'm going to do what God commanded me to do as a wife. I'm going to respect my husband. And it also says that my husband is going to do what the Bible commanded him to do, and that is to love me the way Christ loves the church. And the law of pursuit says, I'm going to do this consistently, whether I feel like it or not. Period. And then lastly, number five is the law of transparency. The law of transparency says there are no secrets. There is nothing hidden. I am naked before you. You are naked before me. I give you my heart. I bear my heart to you. And I can trust that my heart is held safely in your hands. Now, that's a big one. Transparency, there's no secrets. You know all my passwords to my phone. You can go through my phone. You can go through my email. You can put a tracker on me. You can see where I'm going. I have nothing to hide. You know all my friends. You got all my friends' phone numbers. My life is an open book to you because you're my spouse and there are no secrets between us. These five laws of marriage come from Genesis 2:24-25. That is the foundation of a healthy marriage, when you consistently keep the five laws of marriage. So let me quickly dive into what it looks like they both violated and how I feel like they can get their marriage back on track if they choose to fix what's broken. Let's start with pastor. So the pastor violated the laws of priority and the law of pursuit. let's start with the law of priority. The law of priority states that God is first, your spouse is second. And it seems like what Pastor has done is that since God is first, he has circumvented and put his job over his spouse, which is very easy to do when you're a pastor, because you feel like putting God first means I put the church first. But that's not necessarily the truth. The church is your job. Your relationship with God comes first, but your job comes after your wife and children. So he mixed up the order a little bit. This caused his wife to feel neglected, unwanted, unseen. And that neglect opened the door for the enemy to come into their marriage, because the devil saw a perfect opportunity to meet a need that Pastor wasn't meeting. So he sent somebody to tell her she was pretty, to tell her she beautiful, send her some flowers or whatever. However smooth lines the guy used, he tapped into what was missing in her heart, and that was attention. And he gave her what she was missing, and she gave him what he wanted, and he slept with First Lady. Which some people say, oh man, she was weak. Nope, she was not weak. Because affection and attention is a need a woman has. And when you don't give a woman what she needs, somebody else will. That's for somebody. That's for somebody. When you don't give your spouse what they need, the devil will send somebody who will. And you have to protect your own marriage by not violating the law of priority. God first, spouse second, children third, job fourth. Got it? Cool. Pastor also violated the law of pursuit. He was spending so much time at church, he wasn't spending enough time with First Lady. You know, the time we spend when we're dating, getting to know each other. We spend all kind of time together dating. We get married, and we sometimes don't make that shift that we still have to continue dating. You still have to continue learning your spouse, because as we grow older, we change. We evolve. We get better. Some things are different. And so you have to take the opportunity to pursue your spouse, to learn your spouse. So how do I pursue my spouse, you may be asking? Because I don't want what happened to Pastor and First Lady to happen to me and my husband. Great. Good question. You pursue your spouse by spending time with them, by spending money on them, and by spending your energy on them. If I were to look at your bank statement, I can tell what's important to you by what you're spending money on. If you look at my bank statement, you'll see Amazon. I love Amazon. Amazon is important to me. And I show that by spending money with them the same way in marriage. You can't say your wife is important to you, but you're not spending money on her. You can't say your husband's important to you, you're not spending money on them. Doesn't have to be big money, can be little money. It can be something as simple as, I'm at the convenience store getting gas. I'm going to bring my husband his favorite brand of water or his favorite brand of soda. Or maybe he has a favorite kind of candy that he likes. Or I was in Publix the other day and I was in the candy aisle, because the candy aisle and the bread aisle on the same aisle. In Publix, I was getting some bread and I saw these gummy bears. My husband loves gummy bears. So I picked up some and some orange slices. Those are his two favorite kinds of candy. So I picked up some for him because I thought about him and he loves gifts. And I thought about, I want to let him know I'm thinking of him. So I brought him something that he liked. That's me pursuing him in a very subtle way. He felt like, oh, you thought about me today. That's the law of pursuit. Pastor also violated God's command to love his wife the way that Christ loves the church. Now, that's a big one. God commanded husbands to do that, to love your wives the way that Christ loves the church. And I'm going to do a video on love and respect a little bit later. I'll go into more detail about that. But Jesus takes care of his bride. His bride is the church. There's nothing that we need that we can't pray for that Jesus don't come through for us. And so husbands, you have the responsibility of taking care of your bride, which is your wife. God will help you take care of your bride, but it's still your responsibility. He neglected to meet her needs because he was so busy taking care of the church and doing what had to go into the church. He neglected to meet the needs of his wife, and the enemy saw an opportunity to come in and send someone to tear this marriage up. And part of this falls on the pastor, but I can't just bash the pastor. I have to also talk about what First Lady did wrong, because she has a part to play in the fact that she fell for the temptation that the enemy put in front of her. So First Lady violated the commandment to respect her husband. And we all agree that it was disrespectful for her to entertain the attention of another man. I think we can all agree that that was disrespectful, even though I can understand why she would have been vulnerable to that attention, being that she wasn't receiving any from her husband. It was still disrespectful. So we have to acknowledge that. She also violated the law of priority in that she had God first. Husband, it was supposed to be second, but what she put second was her needs. What she put second was, he's not meeting my needs, so I'm going to get my needs met. She tapped into being selfish, self-focused, that opened the door for the enemy to come in and tempt her. And she actually fell for that temptation. So she violated the law of priority. She also violated the law of transparency. The law of transparency says there are no secrets in our marriage. She violated that law because she had a whole side piece. A whole side piece on the side that pastor didn't know about for a time. And that is a violation of the law of transparency. And lastly, she violated the law of pursuit. She neglected spending her time, her money, her energy on her spouse, which is probably hard to do if you weren't at home. So those are the things that I see that cause their situation to deteriorate and lead to this infidelity. Do I think this marriage can be saved? Yes, I do. But I'm an optimist. So I think every marriage can be saved. It's just that whether or not they want to save their marriage, because it can be saved. It'll take some work. Here's what I think they can do to save their marriage. First off, I think pastor needs to forgive First Lady. And I think First Lady needs to forgive herself. The Bible commands us to forgive, and it's easy for us to say, yeah, that's easier said than done, Minister Yo. Forgiveness is not about what the other person did to you. Forgiveness frees you of the hurt. It frees you of the bitterness. Because if you keep holding on to that, you're really only hurting yourself. And on top of all that, the word says that if we forgive others, then God will forgive us. And we all will do things in the future and have done things in the past that needed some forgiveness. So I forgive you because I want God to forgive Me. I think some practical things that they can do is to set up a date day. Now, there are some pastors that I know who work on Sunday, who work on Sunday. They set up a day during the week where they don't do anything but spend time with their wife. And so for most pastors that I know, that's Mondays, because that's the day where they can rest and spend time with their sweetie. So if they were in front of me for counseling, I would suggest them setting up a date day every Monday. The entire day is blocked off. Pastor is spending time with First Lady. His phone is off. Everybody at church, his personal assistant, the deacons, everybody knows, do not call pastor on Monday. If it's not an emergency and somebody's not dying, then it has to wait until Tuesday. Mondays is going to be your day where you spend time with each other because you need to rebuild the trust between you. The second thing I will tell pastor to do is I will get him to delegate some of his activities. There are ministers, there are deacons at your church that you can delegate some things to. You can't be everything for everybody and still be there for your wife. It's just not possible. You have to delegate. Maybe you can delegate hospital visits to a deacon or a minister in your church. They may need some training in order to do this, but train them and then give it to them. You may can delegate visiting of the sick and shut in when they have communion. Some people take communion to their sick and shut in and pray with them. Maybe that's something you can delegate to one of the deacons or one of the ministers at your church. Maybe you can delegate prayer meeting. Maybe you can pull some of the ministers to do Bible study. There are things that you can delegate to other people that other people have the skill set to do that will free you up to pray, to hear from God, to and to feed your flock. Thirdly, I will say counseling, counseling, counseling. But since you're a pastor, I want you to go to counseling done by another pastor and his wife, someone you know that has a marriage that is good, that's been married for a while, and him and his wife can both speak into you and your wife on the pastoral level, because you need somebody on your level that can relate to the stresses and the struggles that you have as a pastor and a first lady. You need somebody on that level that can talk to you on that level. But I think with counseling, with forgiveness, and you choosing to meet each other's needs consistently, I think your marriage can be saved. I don't think it's at all lost. And I don't think you need to stand in front of the congregation and have a confession. I don't think that's something that you need to do right now. I don't know where this came from, but we have to stand up in front of the congregation and confess our sins. No, you confess your sins to Christ. You bear the burdens of each other. But we don't have to do that publicly all the time. I think there is a point where maybe down the line you may say, 2 years ago, First Lady and I went through something, but now I don't think it's something that you need to discuss with the congregation. Unless you two decide to get a divorce, then that's something that you would definitely need to tell the church. But if you two decide to make it work in private, don't announce it to the entire church. Just find a pastor, friend of yours that can hold water, that has a good marriage that you can talk to, that can help walk you through some things and help you get your marriage back on track. That was a lot, but that was my best shot. I hope this helped you, Pastor and First Lady. If you want to reach out to me personally, you can shoot me an email at makingmarriagework.com. Until next time, go in God.